Chairs No Waiting, episode number 542, Ron Howard and Opie. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great stuff they got over there. They got the Mayberry patrol car license plate. That's right, you can get JL327 license plate for your car. If you have a squad car, you got to get one. Head over and get that. And while you're at it, pick up the 2020 Andy Griffith Show wall calendar. They're shipping now. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. The executive producer of episode number 542 are folks from the Mayberry Meetup 2019 who donated money to support the podcast. So thank you to all of you who did that. And thank you for being here with me in Mayberry once again. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and we're going to dive into some fun Mayberry information. I've got about Ron Howard that you may or may not know. And then we're gonna hear from Randy Turner for This Week in Mayberry History. I've got a really neat feedback that I'm going to play for you. And then last week, if you were here, you got to see the amateur Mayberry tribute contest that we had at the Mayberry Meetup, and I left two people out. So if you want to see that, that'll be at the end of the episode, and we will watch those because it's a video version. So you can listen. I don't know if you get the full effect unless you're actually seeing it, but definitely all that we can do. So it's good to have you with me. This is a lot of fun for me trying to find new things and things that we can read or find out that we might not have known. So this is one of those things. So we're going to listen to this, or I'm going to read this for you or tell you this story about Ron Howard. So I'm going to get a little background music, just quiet little background music, because this is a good story and I think you're going to enjoy it. Just talking about Ron Howard and how he became Opie, because that's what we're talking about. Back in, I don't know, about a year and a half ago, on episode number 480 of Two Chairs No Waiting, we featured an interview that was done by John Lane, one of our fellow podcasters about the Andy Griffith Show. He's kind of gone on hiatus now, but he did a great episode or so that he interviewed Rance Howard. That's Ron's dad. Now, hopefully you got to hear that. He's Ron and Clint Howard's dad, of course, and I hope you got to hear it. And if you didn't, you need to go back to episode number 480 of Two Chairs No Waiting and listen to that and 481, because it's a two-parter. But he mentioned how Ron got his role of Opie. Ronnie, as he was known then, was optioned to appear on what was going to be a CBS series called Barnaby and Mr. O'Malley, which would have been a conflict with the Andy Griffith Show. So if Ronnie had been on that show, he wouldn't have been able to appear as Opie on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, we're going to go into all this, but Aaron Rubin from the Andy Griffith Show, one of the co-creators, he put a second hold on Ronnie because he didn't think that it would work out. Now, Rance mentioned that in that podcast interview. If you go back and listen, he mentions that Aaron said, I don't think they're going to pick up that show, so I want to put a hold on Ronnie to be my Opie, Andy's son, on the show. And wow, what if that hadn't happened? What if Ron Howard had not been Opie? How different our whole Andy Griffith Show would be. Anyway, there's an interview on the Archive of American Television where Ron Howard gave his memories of that same event. Rance Howard told about it on our podcast episode that I was telling you. But if you go and watch these videos, they're on YouTube, and I have a link to them in our show notes. So if you go to this episode, number 542, there'll be a link taking you to Ron telling these stories that I'm about to tell you, and you can hear it from him. You know, I can't show that here because it's copyrighted. I can't show it, but I can tell you the story. So there's an interview there with Ron. And there was this show back then that Ron's talking about, and it was called the General Electric Theater. And there was an episode of that show called Mr. O'Malley, and it featured Ronnie Howard as a young boy named Barnaby, who really, really, he wanted a dog. He really wanted a dog. So he couldn't get a dog because his dad is a workaholic. That's what this episode is about on the GE Theater. His dad was like a workaholic and wouldn't let him have the dog. And it turns out, though, that Barnaby, played by Ronnie, he had a fairy godfather. He was played by a man named Bert Lahr, who showed up to save the day. You know, he was a fairy godfather. He was going to grant a wish of getting the dog, but the comedy of the whole episode was that, try as he might, the fairy godfather, he couldn't seem to grant Barnaby's wish. During the interview, Ron said, they were great scenes, and I loved working on them. He loved them. He enjoyed doing this show. He said it was a great show. He said, if you count that episode back when it aired in 1959, that's when it came on, you may not have realized that you were watching a pilot for a series that was going to be focused on the adventures of young Barnaby, played by Ronnie, and Mr. O'Malley. Barnaby and Mr. O'Malley, they were based on a popular 1940s comic called Barnaby, was the name of the comic. Ron Howard said that he'd already agreed to do the series if it was picked up. So if the GE Theater episode had been received well and was successful with viewers, Ron Howard, he wouldn't have been available to be Opie on the Andy Griffith Show. Because as Ron's dad had mentioned, Aaron put a second hold on him. So if that show didn't get picked up as a series, I want him on the Andy Griffith Show. That was what Aaron said. So, you know, thankfully, I guess from our selfish Andy Griffith Show things, that's not how history played itself out. Ron said in the interview, he said, this is a quote, at the end of the day, somehow Mr. O'Malley never could figure out how to get me a dog. But my father gets the message and gets me a dog, and I think Mr. O'Malley did it. And it was a pilot for a TV series, and Ronald Reagan was then hosting that show, the General Electric Theater. And I guess I didn't have much of a credit on the show, but Ron Reagan had seen the episode, and at the end, he just kind of ad-libbed this thing and said, and a special thanks to little Ronnie Howard, who did a wonderful job as Barnaby, or something like that. Ron went on to say that Sheldon Leonard got a call in to his agent and saying, I'm doing a series about the Andy Griffith Show, and we need a son for Andy. And I don't think that this Mr. O'Malley series is going to sell. So I'm willing to take Ronnie Howard on as his second position and to put a hold on him. Now, those are Ron's memories of what happened at those times. And according to Ronnie, he thought it was Sheldon Leonard that had done that. But according to his dad, it was Aaron Rubin. Aaron Rubin, because Aaron Rubin was the one that had talked to them about it. Now, you got to remember, Ron at the time was what, 5? So he's remembering this from stories he's heard. And we heard it from Rance. So one of them's right. It doesn't really matter which one did it. Except for the fact, as we go on here and I'll tell you more of the story, it probably was Aaron. Because Ronnie said that the General Electric Theater basically served as the audition for the Andy Griffith Show, because he didn't really ever have one, he said. Yeah, he never was called in for an audition. Instead, he recalled a fun encounter with Andy Griffith Show co-creator Aaron Rubin when they first met. And this is what Ronnie said. I remember going in and meeting Aaron Rubin, and for some reason he said, how tall are you? And I said, I don't know how tall I am, but I could stand up under his desk. And so he thought that was kind of funny that I could just stand there under his desk. And he said, okay, we'll just measure my desk later to see how tall you are. But I don't remember anything like an audition for the Andy Griffith Show, was what Ronnie said. In case you're wondering how Ron was cast in the General Electric Theater episode, since he wasn't interviewed or auditioned for the Andy Griffith Show. How did he get the job with General Electric? Well, it all comes back to around his dad, who's an actor, Rance. Ron said the General Electric Theater director was named Sherman Marks, and he ran an acting school that Ron's dad, Rance, had attended, and sometimes Ronnie would go along with him and attend those classes. And so that's how he ended up catching Mr. Marks' eye and getting the job on the GE Theater. Ron only had a few roles before the Andy Griffith Show, appearing in The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, Twilight Zone, Dennis the Menace, Playhouse 90, and Johnny Ringo. Of those, you know, not counting the Andy Griffith Show necessarily, but he said he liked the General Electric Theater the best. He said this, quoting, "I don't have a single stressful recollection of any of those early jobs." And then, most fun of all, was the part I got to do in the show called General Electric Theater. So he enjoyed being a little boy who had a godfather. So I thought you might enjoy hearing that story. So what would have happened, you think? What if Ronnie had not been Opie? Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? What would that have been like? We'd have had no... Oh my goodness. Who could have done that role other than Ronnie? Is that not amazing? Anyway, I want you to know about that. So I have another story I want to tell you. This is another before we get into Randy Turner and then follow up with our meetup from last month. I got a great email today for me. It was absolutely amazing for me to get this. And I guess what I want to do is encourage you. Here I am. I've been running this podcast for, 10 years? And you never know. I mean, I have folks in the chat room. We've got 38 people in our chat room right now visiting and talking, and had 150 or so nearly come to somewhere in that range, came to the Mayberry meetup in Mount Airy a couple of weeks ago. So you realize you're having some impact on people, but you never really know what it means until you get an email like this one. Now, this email was from Kim Crumbly. Back in February, we had the Two Chairs meetup here at our house. And there was only about 12 people probably that came to that, because it was a small event. And one of the people I got to meet at this meetup that came to the house here, I got to meet the Crumblies, is who I got to meet. And it was a really good experience. But let me tell you this story. So this is my friend here. Let's show you. This is my friend. If you can see the video, there he is right there. Here's the note I got. It says, "This is Kim Crumbly. I wanted to share with you that in June, Clayton," that's Clayton there, if you can see the picture, Clayton was at, he came to my house. He sat here at the Two Chairs, No Waiting chair, and got his picture made. There's Clayton. Clayton was very sick and had to be helicoptered to the Children's Hospital. It was Monday afternoon, and Philip, that's the husband, and I, Kim, were so scared when they told us that we couldn't go with him in the helicopter. But I knew he'd be okay. When all hooked up with the machines and the breathing equipment, he said, "Two Chairs, No Waiting" comes on tonight. And he got to the hospital, and we had to get it all pulled up on it for him to be able to watch. And he watched the episodes both weeks that he was in the ICU. I think he's your biggest fan, and we sure do appreciate you and what you do. Thank you, the Crumblies." Wow. That's very humbling, but I tell you, it made my day to hear something like that. And thank you so much for writing in, and thank you for letting me share the story here on the podcast, because I did ask before I told you the story. But I'm so glad that he's doing well, because he is. They wrote and wanted to make sure that you knew he was doing okay. He's back. He's okay now. This was a while back, but Clayton, thank you. Thank you for being a fan and watching the show, and we appreciate you. And thank you. I'm glad you're doing better. All right, folks, let's go and hear from Randy Turner with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Sandy Kenyon holds the distinction of having appeared twice in Mayberry, while only being credited once. Sandy was born on August the 5th, 1922, in the Bronx in New York City. Little information is readily available about his early life, but Sandy served as a pilot during World War II with the Army Air Corps, where he sometimes organized shows for his fellow soldiers. After his military service, he returned to New York City to pursue acting, both on the stage and in television, some of which was still being produced on the East Coast. A great many sources indicate Sandy helped found a regional theater in 1946, along with four other friends in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, located in the tourist resort area of Bucks County. He is also said to have performed in Summerstock with the theater for 8 seasons. However, the date seems not to mesh exactly with his time spent in the military, and the theater group, Town and Country Players, which is still in operation, does not list him as a co-founder on their website. Regardless, he definitely did perform in Summerstock in the theater, though it was for 7 seasons, not 8. Sandy made his television debut in a 1949 episode of the now-forgotten drama series, The Big Story. He continued to appear sporadically in shows during the first half of the 1950s, while also acting in various theaters, including wrapping up his 7th season with the aforementioned Town and Country Players. It could be sources are confused, as Sandy did start his own stock company, but it was in Connecticut. He was also a member of the Theater Guild's Shakespeare Academy. Sandy continued to act periodically on television until he landed one of the lead roles as the first mate in a syndicated comedy about a charter boat operation in the Bahamas called Crunch and Des. The comedy was well received, but lasted only the 1955 through 1956 season. Sandy acted in 2 different off-Broadway productions in 1956 and 1957, then moved to California to pursue television and film work. For the next 10 years, Sandy worked steadily as a character actor. He appeared in series such as The Phil Silver Show, Have Gun Will Travel, The Dick Van Dyke Show, and The Fugitive. He played a recurring character in the Western series, The Travels of Jamie McFeeters. Sandy returned to New York to make his Broadway debut in 1964 in Conversation at Midnight, but unfortunately the play closed after just 2 days. Sandy first appeared in the Mayberry universe in 1965 as a sergeant in an episode of Gomer Pyle USMC. The following year, he played Bill Lindsay, the teacher of an American history evening class that several Mayberryans signed up for. In the episode, Goober grew a beard and became convinced he was an intellectual, talking nonstop, not just about history, but on every subject. However, Sandy was not credited in this color episode, with the credits instead erroneously stating the role was played by a different actor, Richard Bull. In 1967, Sandy appeared for a second time in the Andy Griffith Show, but this time he was credited when he played George Hollander, the wealthy father of a boy Opie became friends with at summer camp. Sandy continued to act in numerous series. He played another recurring role in the mid-60s series, Love on a Rooftop, and appeared numerous times as different characters in series including Bonanza, The Virginian, and Hogan's Heroes. Sandy is likely best remembered for playing a reverend as a recurring character in Knott's Landing in the mid-80s. He also did some limited voice work, including originating the role of John Arbuckle, the owner of the title character in the original 1982 animated short, Here Comes Garfield. Sandy first retired from acting in 1998, but returned half a decade later to appear in three films, first in 2004, then 2008, and 2009. Sandy passed away in 2010 at the age of 87. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
Well, thank you, Randy, for that report. And if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great stuff that Randy Turner is doing online, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com, and you'll not miss any of the great stuff that Randy's doing. He's got a calendar. He's got a book coming out. We got all kinds of stuff. Now, you'll be able to get these things at Weavers, so just so you know, they're all going to be coming in. So, wow, thank you again, Randy. And I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode, the stuff that we've already talked about so far. It really meant a lot to me to hear from Clanton, I should say. Was I calling him Clayton? Clanton. It's Clanton, C-L-A-N-T-O-N, Clanton. And it's just really, really been nice. I want to thank all of you. I want to thank Clanton and his mom and dad. And I want to thank all of you who have helped support the podcast. We really do appreciate it. Thanks to Randy for doing what he does every week just to keep the spirit of Mayberry alive. That's what this is all about. Just trying to keep everybody plugged in with the Mayberry spirit. The Mayberry Days is coming up soon. And then the Mayberry Cruise. So, folks, it's already sold out. They did sell out this year from the Mayberry Cruise, and they're already planning next year's, the 2020 Mayberry Cruise. Make sure you get tickets when that becomes available, if you want to go with us. It ought to be big. That'll be the 15th Mayberry Cruise and the 60th anniversary year of the Andy Griffith Show. So it should be a lot of fun. Should have fun there. All kinds of great Mayberry stuff going on. One of the great Mayberry things we had going on was last month we had the Mayberry meetup. Now, last episode we talked about that, and I showed clips at the end of the episode that were the amateur tribute artist contest that they had. Now, I'm going to show two groups that I did not show last week here at the end of the show. So if you don't want to stick around for that, I understand if you're just listening, you may not enjoy it as much, but if you're watching the episode, you'll enjoy this. And I'd love to hear from you, and I'll say it again at the end, but you can give me a call at 888-684-8415, and you're free to go if you don't want to stick around for this. But this is a lot of fun. I hope you're going to enjoy these meetup tributes. So let's go over and check out. First off, we got Asa, and then we're going to have Sarah and Mr. McBeavy. These are some I left off last week. Sorry I did that to you guys, but here they are and making their debut.
Awesome.
But then, Asa, your gun fell apart again, didn't you?
Oh, my. Oh, got the misery with that. Somebody else got the misery. Oh,
you got the misery.
Yeah, it's so hot on
reverse.
Got my ball of tinfoil.
Oh, I've heard about your ball of tinfoil. Oh,
no.
Is that your bullet there?
That's my bullet. That's the green one.
It's moldy.
I got another one. I've been working on. Oh, that's another green one. I got a bunch of green ones. Barney gave me his shiny bullet. You know, Barney's got the shiniest bullet. He gave me this one. And I've been working on mine. And see how shiny that bullet is? Them are the shiniest bullets around.
You made it flat on the top. You shine it so much.
I've been using emery cloth and soap powder, and it just keeps wearing it out. I got my ball of tinfoil, my shiny ball of tinfoil. I got my ball of tinfoil. Yeah. Oh, mercy.
His gun keeps falling
apart. You mean everything. You know that.
All right, well, they got
I got to get to the bank. The bank, it's not a holiday, and the bank is open, and I'm not there. Oh,
him on a leash.
Hey,
all right, tell everybody who you are.
Madeline Brickwater.
And your character?
Sarah.
She's Sarah at the phone company, and I guess this is Mr. McBaby. Tell everybody who you are.
Nick Fitzwater.
And where are you guys from?
Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, West Virginia.
He's got Opie's hatchet.
He's got a hatchet.
He's got the funeral.
He's got the
funeral.
I got
the bag. He's got his 12 extra hands and everything. So let's get a little bit. Is there anything y'all wanted to say?
Love being here. Love being here.
Do you want to call the Bluebird Diner?
No, yeah, but, well, Barney probably will. Where's Barney? You want to call Juanita?
Yeah, call Juanita.
Sarah, just put some ice on it.
Oh, she's got numbers and stuff on there.
That's
the actual number.
So that's
347
is
7-8. No, she knows who they are. It's just got the numbers.
Go over, call that one on Main on Run.
142R is the diner.
And that's Andy's phone.
And Andy's phone is 533A.
Yeah, I'm listening to Andy.
Wow, you're listening in again, are you? She's listening in again.
What's the morning?
So they did a great job. Great job to Asa. And great job to Sarah and Mr. McVavy. Great job. Now, Sarah there, she had, those two are married, by the way. They were at the meetup last year in Mount Airy, and they got married right after, after that, they got engaged and married. Great, great story. She actually had her switchboard. She was carrying it around with her, and she actually had the phone numbers. She had these prongs that you could stick into the holes, and the phone numbers were written on there. The phone, Thelma Lou's phone number and Barney's phone, they were on the board. And if you wanted to call them, she stuck it in the right hole. That was great. I couldn't believe it. And Asa, great job. That was Dennis Blaine, by the way. He was dressed up as Asa, and I mean, his gun fell apart when he pulled it out of the holster. All the pieces went flying all over the place. He had his tin foil. You know, he had the moldy bullets and the really shiny bullets. So he had worked as well. So that was, no, not Sarah and Asa. Sarah and Mr. McBeavy are married. Did I say Sarah and Asa? Sarah and Mr. McBeavy are married. So that was kind of, you know, I really never ever piece those together, because Sarah's the phone operator. Mr. McBeavy works on the phones. So that was good. So I thought, from Asa having the misery in his back all the way through, great job to those two. I tell you, it was a great trip, a great time. I encourage you, if you get to come to the Mayberry meetup, do that. If you can come to Mayberry Days, even better. That's coming up in about a month, guys. Mayberry Days is on its way. So I definitely want to encourage you to be there. Thank you for being here at the podcast and visiting with me. And it's always so much fun to spend some time with you. I would absolutely love to be able to hear back from you guys. So if you, if you have an opportunity, you can give me a call at 888-684-8415 and let me hear what you think. What do you think about if Opie, Ron Howard, had not been Opie? What would have happened? What'd you think about Randy Turner's great report, or just any of the stuff you heard in the podcast? I would really love to hear from you. So give me a call. If you don't want to do that, head over to twochairsnowaiting.com. Click the contacts. You'll be able to find, I think there's a contact button. Go to the about button. That's where the contact is. And from there, you can get all the information about how to get in touch with me. I would just love to hear from you. Folks, until next week, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you here on Two Chairs.